It is the JR Sport Brief Show back here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in all over North America, East Coast, down South, Midwest. What's up, Baltimore? What's up, West Coast? All my friends in Canada. My people in Western New York, people in San Diego and Texas, here in Georgia, in New York with super producer and host Ryan Hickey. I appreciate you. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Happy Monday. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football out in Philadelphia. We've got the Eagles hosting another set of birds, the Falcons. Falcons are trying to be a team that doesn't go down 0-2. Eagles picked up a victory against the Packers down in Brazil. I'm sure it's better to be back in Philly than Brazil, right? I guess we'll see if Kirk Cousins can avoid an 0-2 start. We'll also see if Kirk Cousins is washed up. Can he move? We'll find out soon enough. Anyway, we've already had a lot take place this show. Bryce Young has been benched. Carolina Panthers said, hey, Andy Dalton, come on down. It's your time to shine. We talked about Caleb Williams missing an opportunity to shine last night as the Bears fell to the Texans. That wasn't good. He got sacked 7 times. And then we talked about all these injuries in the NFL. Hey, Kyle Shanahan just told us about 30 minutes ago that Deebo Samuel is dealing with a calf strain. Go ahead and put him in the same damn category right now as Christian McCaffrey, a San Francisco 49er with a calf injury. And that dynamic offense is a little less dynamic with two of the more electric players on the offense gone. Isaiah Pacheco gone with a broken leg. You're missing at minimum probably almost 2 months. Justin Jefferson is okay. It looks like he's going to be fine despite the thigh bruise. Someone who's not fine, Cooper Kupp, is not fine again. He is dealing with an ankle injury. He might have to go on injured reserve. And speaking of injuries, do not expect to see A.J. Brown tonight either. A.J. Brown will not play tonight in Philadelphia for the Eagles against the Falcons. A.J. Brown dealing with his own hamstring issue. Who needs preseason football, though, right? Who needs to get thrown around? Who needs to get kind of weathered and prepared for this physical sport? Who needs it? We can just take a couple of days off and practice a little bit against opposition, and the guys will be fresh for the regular season. And I guess that's where the balance comes in. Do you want to have the players fresh for the regular season, or do you want to have them kind of beat up and weathered a little bit to actually prepare them for the start of the season? Because with all the injuries that we got right now, no A.J. Brown tonight, Deebo Samuel with a calf strain, Cooper Kupp, you know, dealing with an ankle, which has been bothering him for now years. There ain't no saving these guys, man. I wish. Anyway, we have so much more to do in this show. If you missed a second, you can always hit rewind on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. Thank you to everybody tuned in on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158. And if you got yourself a smart speaker, that thing that listens to you all day long, you can ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. How about this? In about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined. We're going straight to the Carolinas. We're going to have a chat with Travis Hancock. He hosts the morning show, Mac and Bone, on WFNZ in Charlotte. And I want to ask him about Bryce Young. Are we done with Bryce Young? Are we going to see Bryce Young again? Is this now the Andy Dalton show? Have the fans given up on Bryce Young? And how do they feel about owner David Tepper? It seems like he has beef with the fans and the community and everybody. It was only a while that the Panthers looked like they were maybe potentially on the up and up. But with no franchise quarterback, if Bryce Young doesn't work out, man, they're going to be in the toilet for a very, very long time. We'll have that conversation with Travis Hancock in about 15 minutes. But before we get there, yesterday, an early start to things, week 2 of the NFL season, We had a little bit of a shock. We had a couple of surprises and shocks early. Let's start off with this one. The fact that the Dallas Cowboys lost at home to the New Orleans Saints, the final score, 44-19. You heard me correctly. The Dallas Cowboys lost at home. They haven't done that in 16 games. The Dallas Cowboys, at least at home in the regular season, they've been able to go out there and handle business. Not yesterday. Alvin Kamara went off for four touchdowns, including 115 yards on the ground. Derek Carr threw for two touchdowns. And the Saints are actually, they're hot. The Saints have been dropping points and scoring. I don't know, like the Saints since 2009, the last Saints team that actually went out there and won a Super Bowl. They are the fifth team to score at least 44 points in its first two games since those 2009 Saints. And I got to be honest here. There was a full expectation by me that the Saints would continue to suck like they did last year. And I know, God bless them, they were able to open up the season against Carolina. That's not too much to ask for. They beat them 47-10. They beat the Cowboys 44-19 yesterday. And the Saints are 2-0. The Saints have the best record along with the Buccaneers in the NFC South. They both have started 2-0. Pretty wild, pretty amazing about what they did. Alvin Kamara missed the four touchdowns. He spoke and he said, look, when our offense is rolling, oh, we good. We real good.
When we're clicking like that, I mean, it's usually it's been a lot of complimentary football around here. Guys playing big time football, offensively, defensively, special teams wise. Just speaking for the offense, you know, when you're able to go out there and execute, limit the self-inflicted wounds, have explosive plays, like, man, it's like the sky's the limit. So it feels good right now, obviously.
Well, it feels good right now. I don't know how much longer the Saints are going to be able to continue this on. Before we talk about their next opponent, rather interesting, let's hear from Micah Parsons. He says, we didn't get blown out because of the game plan. We got blown out just because we sucked.
It had nothing to do with this game. I thought it was him called a pretty good game. Now, there was a man play we happened in the screen, but I didn't think that's life. You know what I'm saying? You always want, no play's going to be a perfect call. But at the end of the day, I believe that we just got outplayed. I don't think, you know, whoever played on that field, you know, everyone didn't play to 100%. That's just me being accountable and, you know, saying the truth. We all got to play better.
Yeah, they all got to play better. Dallas Cowboys, we know what their expectations are. Y'all better go to the playoffs. Y'all better win a round or two. Otherwise, their head coach is going to get the boot. Mike McCarthy is going to get sent packing. Up next for the Dallas Cowboys, how about this? Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens expected to compete in the AFC North as usual. Expected to go to the postseason as per usual. Expected to compete for a Super Bowl, I guess, if, you know, the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, is healthy enough to get them there. So the Dallas Cowboys have an opportunity to bounce back. They had an ugly showing yesterday. But the Ravens, they had an ugly showing against the Raiders. Gardner Minshew was able to help lead three scoring drives. And the Raiders came back from behind to beat the Baltimore Ravens. Derrick Henry looked like he put him up for good on a rushing touchdown. Ravens had a chance late at the end of the game to end the game. Lamar Jackson looked like he had air and opportunity in front of him, kind of, sort of. Ended up pitching the ball back. And the Ravens are now 0-2 on the season. This is what you sign up for when you bring in a Derrick Henry. You have the reigning MVP. And now Baltimore and the Cowboys, somebody is going to walk away out of that game. And the fan base is absolutely going to hate them. The Ravens better hope it's not them. Because if Lamar Jackson goes 0-3, they're going to rip this man to shreds. Lamar Jackson, he says, we, the Ravens, well, we got to dig deep. We got to get better. We better do it ASAP.
It's always business, you know. Yeah, but we're going to see. We're going to see. You know, I'm definitely going to talk to my guys, though, because we got to find our mojo. You know, we got to find and do what we do, because that's not us at all.
Yeah, who would have known the Raiders had some mojo in beating the Ravens? Devontae Adams hauling in 110 yards receiving and a touchdown. Rookie Brock Bowers off to one of the hottest starts we've ever seen from a tight end. He had 98 yards receiving. And Antonio Pierce, he gave Tom Telesco, the GM, a big old hug at the end of the game yesterday. And Antonio Pierce said, our guys were hyped up because people thought that we were going to lose by a lot.
A win where we were 10-point underdogs, disrespected the National Football League. I've been in the game a long time. Not too many times teams get picked by to lose by 10 points. Our guys took it personal, and that was good. And we got a lot of cleanup to do tomorrow.
Man, y'all still suck. Y'all still suck. I don't care what the Raiders did yesterday against the Ravens. The Raiders are still going to they're going to be at the bottom of the barrel, man. Kansas City Chiefs are still better than them. If you ask me who is going to have a better season, them or, you know, the Chargers, I'm still picking the Chargers. Congratulations. You gotta win something eventually. And I guess the Raiders, they'll feel real good because their next game is going to be against the Carolina Panthers. And so unless Andy Dalton has some type of resurgence as the starting quarterback, I wouldn't be too concerned, you know, with the Raiders and being underdogs. You guys can go out there and enjoy it while it lasts. Because y'all stink. Speaking of stink, the Bengals stink. Bengals took on the Chiefs, and at some point over the past few years, it seemed that, you know, the Bengals had the Chiefs' number. Harrison Butker, game-winning field goal yesterday. We saw penalties cost the Bengals. So we saw Jamar Chase lose his you-know-what on a big penalty as he's out there cursing out the referee. And so Kansas City knocks off Cincinnati 26-25. You want to talk about a loss? We talked about Isaiah Pacheco. But Harrison Butker knocking down that 51-yard field goal ensured that the Chiefs are 2-0 and that the Bengals are now 0-2. And just for the Ravens and the Bengals, two teams expected to compete for a championship, at least the AFC championship, I remind you what I told you last week. Since 2007, we have had 140 teams start the season 0-2. Only 14 of those teams have made the postseason. So probably tell you that the Bengals and or the Ravens are not going to go. Joe Burrow says, we got a lot to do to get better.
Yeah, we got a lot. We got a lot before we talk about seeing these guys again in the postseason. We got a lot of football to be played and a lot of practicing to do and a lot of improving to go out and do.
The same old every week. Let me remind you, they lost to the Patriots to start the season 16-10. They got Washington up next. Come on, you got to beat Washington, right? It's like the New York Giants didn't know what to do with them. They didn't have a kicker, but anyway, they got Washington up next. And I guess because we have to find the silver lining, Zach Taylor says, our team fought hard against the reigning champs.
Team played hard. I'm really proud of the way they fought, you know, and put ourselves in some really good situations in both halves. Defense getting those takeaways was critical. So again, just disappointed that we lost. It's an emotional loss for us. But at the same time, I like where our team's mental state is at right now, how we fought on the road against a really good team. And I'm confident that we're going to be able to bounce back the right way and get ourselves in better shape coming into week three.
Wah, 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 wah. Like the teacher from Charlie Brown. Tell me something that actually matters. I'm not high on them this season anyway. And they say someone's running around saying T. Higgins is faking his injury. Okay, sure. Bengals are going to stink this year. 855-212-4227. Mark is calling from Jacksonville. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
JR.
Yes, I'm live. So are you. Go ahead.
You doing all right?
I'm terrific. Go ahead.
Good. You hit it right on the head a few minutes ago. You were hitting on my Cowboys and my Ravens. I may be the only person in Jacksonville, Florida that's not a Trevor Lawrence guy. Listen, here's what I want to talk about. Comparison between Troy Aikman, concussion protocol, and Tua. What's your take?
You want me to come? Well, Troy Aikman, unfortunately, and thank you, Mark, for calling from Jacksonville. We saw what Troy Aikman did. Troy Aikman won himself Super Bowls. Troy Aikman is in the Hall of Fame. Troy Aikman, and this is not a nickname that anybody wants. I don't think you could use it nowadays. I heard him in the 90s referred to as Captain Concussion. That's awful. Thank God we see Troy Aikman able to call and broadcast games now. Seems like he has a decent quality of life, all the money he's making. Tua Tagovailoa is just getting started. He ain't won a damn thing. He got a big old contract. So I'm not putting Troy Aikman and Tua in the same space. We know the concussions ended Troy Aikman's career after he had a Hall of Fame career. I don't know if there's a comparison to Tua. Tua, for all intent and purposes, he's still getting started, man. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, speaking of getting started, there's a quarterback in Carolina who just got told to sit down. His name is Bryce Young. We're going to have a conversation with Travis Hancock, WFNZ Charlotte co-host of Mac and Bone in the morning. So I'm going to get his thoughts on Bryce Young. Are we done seeing him? Is he going to bounce back? What can we expect the rest of the season? It's not looking good in Carolina. Travis Hancock is going to join us. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 2 weeks into the NFL season, we're at a quarterback who's been sat down. He's the number one overall pick from 2023. His name is Bryce Young. The Carolina Panthers are already hit a hiccup here in the early portion of the season. This is a big deal given what he was traded for, the results, the team around him, the new coach. There's a lot. So to talk about this, it's time to have a conversation with the morning show co-host of Mac and Bone on WFNZ in Charlotte. Joining us right now is Travis Hancock. Travis, thank you for the time, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Glad to try to give you some insight on whatever the heck is going on here so far. And only week two, and yet here we are with a quarterback drama already unfolding.
When you heard the news yesterday, obviously new head coach Dave Canales was asked multiple times, hey, is this the guy? And he's like, yes, this is our guy moving forward. He says he watched the tape, the film, and today he changed his mind. What were your initial impressions when he said he was the starter yesterday? And what were your thoughts today after he changed his mind?
Well, despite how bad it is, we have assumed that, hey, Bryce is going to get a full year or, you know, at least nearly a full year, depending how it plays out down the stretch. And you know, there needs to be a full evaluation of the entire team. So we thought, you know what, even if he struggles, you have to give him 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, because you brought in Dave Canales as this quarterback whisperer, this guru that did magical things, albeit with veterans in Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. You know, we thought, all right, even if Bryce is struggling to a really bad level that he is right now, at least you have to give Dave Canales more time with Bryce to try to figure it out. But apparently that Bryce Young is so, you know, mentally off track from that disastrous rookie year, and he's just flat out not been good. So everything went against Bryce a year ago. Now it appears like they've fixed a lot of things around him, and it's still a problem. But we all thought around here, hey, we know it's not trending in the right direction, JR, but at least Bryce is going to have a little more time with Canales to try to figure it out.
Yeah, Travis Hancock here with us from WFNZ in Charlotte. Do you think we'll see him sooner than later? Like Andy Dalton, there's no point in starting him the rest of the season. Andy Dalton will probably falter, and then we'll see Bryce sooner than later, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is, even if Bryce plays, you know, and he's bad, you know, you're going to get your pick of the litter, as they normally do here, at the top of the draft, whether it's Shedeur Sanders, Carson Beck, yours, whatever quarterback fits what they want to do, they would at least have that option. Now, you know, Andy Dalton is going to be better. It already changed the Vegas line against the Raiders and dropped a couple points in the Panthers' favor because Andy Dalton's now starting. So he's probably going to win them, you know, three games, four. I don't know. They're pretty bad in a lot of areas. But is that worth it? I never thought, all right, Andy Dalton comes in, he wins three or four games, and away you go. I would have just rode Bryce out as long as you could and then tried from there, unless the thought was that they had to do it now because they were really starting to lose the locker room and Canales is so new to the scene. That's the only thing that makes sense, is that Canales can't lose the locker room only 2 weeks in. But other than that, I don't really see the upside of starting 37-year-old Andy Dalton for the rest of the season.
Oh, Travis, you mentioned the draft of next year. We know about Beck and Shador and Quinn Ewers possibly all going number one overall at quarterback. If this season continues to just be a wash and Bryce is proven to not be the guy, they're going to pull the plug on him already like that?
Yeah, no, it's shocking, and it's coming off of bad hires and a bad GM hire and quarterback trades and signings, and this was supposed to be the guy. And we talked to dozens and dozens of people leading up to the draft, as you can imagine, from some of the biggest names in football that know quarterbacks to a lot of the draft gurus. And I think that for the most part, by the time we got to the draft, everyone kind of bought in. You know, there's the Stroud discussion, of course, but by the time we got to the actual draft night, there wasn't much negativity here that surrounded it. We all thought, all right, they got the guy. It's a little unconventional because of the size, but the way the game is played now, he can overcome that, but he's not Kyler Murray. He's not the freakish athlete that Kyler Murray is, and he's really, 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 you know, we got tired of all the size comments, but how do you not look at it now? Mina Kimes today admitted on one of the ESPN shows that, you know, she was not thinking all about that at the draft time, but now the way he plays, it's hard not to look at his height and really his tepidness, I guess I would say, in the pocket, his inability to step up and make throws. It's a lot that went against him last year with the organization. But right now, you look at it and say, he's just flat out not good as a pro.
And Travis Hancock joining us, WFNZ co-host of Mac and Bone, a morning show. You mentioned the general manager, Dan Morgan,
Yeah. Now
running the show, gave up a haul. We see Caleb Williams as a part of that deal, multiple first rounders, multiple second rounders. I know Dan Morgan was good at hitting people. Is he going to get a lot of leash here and running this team?
Yeah, first of all, he's a former Panther player, so David Tepper, the owner, is naturally going to think have more of a respect for a guy that's been there, done that on the field, as opposed to the previous GM, Scott Fitterer. Dan Morgan was here for the Bryce Young trade, JR, but it's a little complex trying to figure out. He was the assistant GM, and yes, obviously he had a big to say in what was going on. We don't know fully what his thoughts were on Bryce Young. He had to kind of play the part and say, yeah, I'm all in. But, you know, we don't know if he leans Stroud. I don't know. It's hard to tell. So he's going to get a little bit of a longer leash because the previous GM, Scott Fitterer, messed it up so badly that the depth is a problem. Now they lose Derek Brown, their best overall player, defensive player up front for the season. So we said last year at 2-15, how could it get any worse, man? This can't get any worse. Well, it turns out it did. So when you say how can it get worse, think of the Carolina Panthers, because right now, somehow, some way, after a disastrous season, they're in one of the worst. We looked it up today. They're in one of the worst stretches in the history of the sport. Only six times ever have teams had the worst record back-to-back years, and they might be the next one. And it would have been three if they didn't fire Matt Rhule when they did. And Steve Wilks came in and actually righted the ship for a while. They would have had the worst record 3 years in a row, most likely, and that's never happened in the history of professional football.
Well, Travis, you think about the fan sentiment. I was up in Carolina the last time, less than a year ago, as they were getting ready to make the selection of Bryce Young. Here we are, fast forward a year and a couple of months. How are the fans feeling? Is general consensus that we're sick of Bryce Young? Are they saying, hey, we need to see a little bit more before we kick him to the curb? How do the fans feel?
It was really split based off last year because of the way it went down. So entering the offseason, you'd have a lot of Bryce Young detractors and you'd have a lot of Bryce Young supporters. But even though it's only been 2 weeks, he has regressed from being bad last year to the point where it's now gone about, you know, it's only a couple weeks. It's only a small sample size. But based off our show, it's been about 90% that have said, all right, this isn't working. And
wow.
It's not good. And as far as the fan base goes, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years here, and I've seen the highs and the lows. They sent me on a tailgate tour yesterday, a sponsored tailgate tour to try to go find the happiest fans in the city, and that might be the hardest task I've ever had in my life. I was in a Jeep with a megaphone. And it was. I was talking to some people that had that look in their eye, JR, like they've seen some stuff, right? Like they've seen some stuff, and they don't want to talk about it anymore. And I had to sit there with my megaphone, and, you know, I felt bad, but it is a dejected fan base, and they've changed the coaches, they've changed the quarterback, they've changed the GM, they've changed the tackles, they've changed uniform combinations. They've done about everything, but the one thing that remains a constant the last 7 years is David Tepper on the football side of this thing. He does run the soccer team too, but the football side of this, there's very much a Washington feel, Cleveland Browns feel when they were bad. It's feeling like those organizations that keep going through coaches, keep going through quarterbacks. They change GMs. Washington's an all-time example of that, where they tried for 20 – ever since Mark Griffin was there, they've been trying quarterbacks and GMs and coaches, and they hit on it a little bit. But there's very much that feel of, oh, no, if Tepper's here, is it going to be the next quarterback that doesn't work out, the next coach? It's a constant cycle. Like, we feel like we're on Groundhog Day, and we're never getting out of this thing.
Well, Travis, that was going to be my next question. David Tepper, there was a lot of optimism when he took over. I guess part of it is the previous owner, Jerry Richardson, how he exited the building. But just over the past year, 2 years, we've seen David Tepper. Got a little bit of that that nasty Wall Street side to him, whether it's, you know, going into restaurants and being upset with signs, or, you know, throwing a drink at a fan, home fan, opposing fan, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That has kind of waned already. I guess there is no more optimism with him as owner?
No. There's also some business dealings with a practice facility here that didn't work out. So there's other stuff here that's going on, like the internal, you know, city paying for stadium stuff. That's also a problem there. Look, I think that there are times where the fans go off on him where it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, that particular thing might not be necessary. Then there's other things where you go, how in the world is it possible, JR? Yeah, there's the Drake throwing last year. There's the taking the hat off the fan, although he is a ball buster. So that one, I didn't think it was as big of a deal as it appeared. I think he was just busting chops. But the drink was certainly a problem. How about the thing last year that came out, the report, that he was submitting plays to Frank Reich last year before he got fired? He submitted a play that he saw the Cleveland Browns run at some point. We don't know when the Browns ran that play, if it was Jim Brown or, you know, Bernie Kosar. We have no idea what play he saw, but he submitted a play last year that he wanted Frank Reich to run. So, I mean, yeah, the drinks are one thing and the hat, but, you know, if he stayed away from the football stuff, it'd be like, all right, well, we got a little bit of a cavalier owner, but he doesn't win, so it's seen as a negative for sure. But when you're submitting plays that you saw somewhere in time from the Cleveland Browns, I mean, that's one of the big reasons why we're in this spot, JR. Help us get out of here.
I wish I could. I know you wish you could. Final question for you. All things considered, it is September of 2025. What is the most likely scenario for the Panthers? Are we looking at a different quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different quarterback. It's hard to gauge which one. You know, it's so early. Like, we're not even, like, thinking about, like, who fits the Dave Canales mold or who's the – I mean, it's obviously yours and Carson Beck and Shador Sanders, and we'll see who else moves up. It's so early. Last year, you know, we've had to put on a lot of draft people early in seasons, but last year we reached out to Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com and, you know, does a ton of draft work, and he said that he's never gotten a text before for a draft interview in early October. But we did it last year, and now I'm thinking,
do I have to text Ryan Wilson and Rick Spielman and any of the draft experts and try to get them on in September? This is not a fun life to live, man. So I think it's going to be one of those quarterbacks, but I honestly thought that Bryce is going to play out the year. We get to end of November, December, January, we start thinking about what quarterback fits, but apparently now we're going to have to start talking college quarterbacks, which we like to do, but it's only mid-September, and we are already looking at reading all the mock drafts yet again.
Yeah, this might be a full-on draft evaluation for the Panthers this year. Prepare yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Travis. Where can people follow you, your work, listen to the morning show? Fill us in.
I am at T-Bone, WFNZ, on all social media platforms, X or Twitter, whatever we're calling it today. I'm usually pretty upbeat and pretty happy-go-lucky until about 1 p.m. on Sundays, and then things just, I don't know what it is, I don't know what happens, but about 1 p.m. on Sundays, we start to unravel into a dark place, and then we come out of it, and we get back in that dark place every week. But yeah, at T-Bone, WFNZ, Mac and Bone Show, wherever you find your podcast, check us out.
Hey, hopefully we bring you back with some positivity over the next couple of weeks and months, right?
So, yeah, next man, time. Anytime.
No doubt. Thank you so much, Travis, joining us from WFNZ out in Charlotte. As we got the word earlier today, bad word for Bryce Young. He's been benched for Andy Dalton. This entire season is just an ultimate evaluation of really Bryce Young and what the team can do around him and how Dave Canales can actually, you know, lay the groundwork for a team moving forward. And that's going to be much more difficult if Bryce Young is not the starter. We're going to find out sooner than later over the next several weeks and the next several months. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I don't think Bryce Young is done. We're going to see him again before the season is over, probably in an elongated stretch. I'm just going to wait for Andy Dalton to suck. And then Bryce Young is going to get that chance and that opportunity to turn things around. I'm like Trav. I don't think that is the most likeliest of options. I think it's more likely enough that they'll probably be looking for a new quarterback next year in the draft. This is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, speaking of the draft, we're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's talk some college. Because one of my favorite quarterbacks that I've never seen play, he finally got a long stretch and a chance to do so. Because someone who might be one of the top quarterbacks selected, he went down with an injury. We're going to talk about Texas. The Longhorns are 3-0. We're going to talk about Michigan. They've already decided to make a quarterback change. And then, yeah, we'll mention my Georgia Bulldogs, which almost gave me a heart attack.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Travis Hancock, morning show co-host on WFNZ in Charlotte, for coming through to talk to us about Bryce Young, the now backup quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. Andy Dalton is getting that start. And Travis made it very clear. Up in Charlotte, even though it's September, they, as in some of the hosts on the radio, himself, the fans, they're already starting to think about who the hell is going to be the quarterback for next season. They're already having to take a look and have chats with draft experts on who could certainly come through and take over for the Carolina Panthers next year. We know where their number one pick went this year. It went to the Chicago Bears, and the Bears selected Caleb Williams. If we go ahead and take a look at next year, if Carolina sucks again, they're going to have a chance to get Bryce Young the hell up on out of there and maybe draft a Shedeur Sanders, who maybe when he gets drafted, he'll have some humility. I doubt it. Or maybe they'll bring in a Carson Beck. I hope the Bulldogs can get the offense together. The defense is the one doing all the work. Or maybe even a Quinn Ewers, who unfortunately had to exit Saturday's game against UTSA because of an abdominal issue. And so if you're checking and taking a look at college football, we did have some good games and good matchups over the weekend. We had some surprises. And I was very surprised and happy to see Arch Manning out there playing. We know that Texas is now number one overall in the AP rankings after the Georgia Bulldogs forgot how to score the football against Kentucky. Hickey, I've been waiting for it. for a long time. We saw Arch Manning, and the man contributed 5 damn touchdowns. I love it.
I was surprised. Not just because I doubted Arch, and not that UTSA is any good, but to come in and 5 touchdowns in the span of, what, 3 quarters? That was unbelievable.
He threw a touchdown. His first pass, he's like, boom, touchdown.
Why waste any time?
Right, and then he ran for that 67-yard. They're like, wow, we got a Manning who can actually run.
Did you see that juke?
Yeah, I did. Imagine if he is somewhere in between Eli. Can he be as good as Peyton? I doubt it, right? Can't be that good, right?
That's a very, very high bar to clear.
If he is somewhere in between Eli and Peyton, and he's a better athlete than both of them, I still think that's damn good, right?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Sign me up. You know what? Let's take a listen to that run. 67-yard touchdown run by a guy named Manning. Arch. This is courtesy of Craig Way from Learfield.
Second down, handoff. Weisberg getting up, pulling it back in. It's Manning. Arch breaks a tackle. 50, 45 to the 30. Dare I say it? Say goodnight to it. 67 yards. Arch to the house.
And Arch Manning, he spoke after the game. It'd be nice to hear more of him after games, but he doesn't talk, so he doesn't play. He was asked if he knew he was that fast. Listen.
Well, when he bit on the back, I had a pretty good idea. I just had to make one move on the safety, and when adrenaline kicks in, it helps you run a little bit faster. But I credit that to Tory Becton, our head weight coach. He runs our tails off in the summer, so I think I've gotten a little bit faster since I've gotten on campus.
Follow up on that. How did you feel once you realized what you just did?
Felt good. Anytime you can get points on the board, help your team win games, it feels really good.
Yeah, well, we might see him more often. So first of all, Quinn Ewers, he had to leave in the second quarter. He strained his chest, his abs. I guess when you have ab muscles, you can go out there and strain them. And so next up for Texas, who's now 3-0 and ranked number 1 in the country, they got Louisiana Monroe. And then they got Mississippi State, which decided to leg one of the ugliest eggs of all time. They lost to Toledo 41-17. Now that is embarrassing as all hell. And so I expect to see Arch Manning. We'll see more of him. Sark said that Quinn Ewers is he's questionable for the next game. So we don't know. But if it's another ass whooping, we'll see more of Arch Manning. Maybe he's out there, you know, helping to score 5 more touchdowns. Speaking of quarterbacks, we learned earlier today that Michigan, now ranked 18th in the country on the AP's rankings, Michigan is 2-1. They beat Arkansas State 28-18. They have USC up next, and they are sick and tired. At least Sharon Moore is. He is sick and tired of seeing Davis Warren throw interceptions. 6 interceptions to 2 touchdowns. Alex Orji is now going to get the chance and the opportunity to start and play. And maybe he's going to light a fire under Michigan and their offense. The man, he didn't throw a pass last year. He was pretty much tasked with going out there and being an athlete. Hey, man, we need you. Run the football. This time, he's going to throw. This is what Sharon Moore had to tell everybody about Alex Orji taking over at Michigan.
Alex will start on Saturday. Excited for him. He's been in here chomping up a bit, so we'll move on from there. Yeah, just take the reins, perform like he did in the first couple weeks of camp. Like I said, thought he was in a really good place, and Davis outperformed him in camp at the end, and would love to see him just take the reins and do what he's been doing, you know, through those first couple weeks. And I think he will. He's had a great couple weeks of practice. So is Davis, but obviously got to perform in the game. And excited to see what Alex is going to do.
Okay. All right. That'll be one hell of one. USC is now ranked at number 11. And Miller Moss, well, Lincoln Riley says he is one of the smartest quarterbacks that he has ever worked with. And I know Michigan will certainly appreciate it if they get any type of life. Well, Alex Orji, he can't be worse than what Davis Warren was giving them. I guess eventually things were going to fall apart for him. Guy was basically a walk-on. Speaking of getting walked on and over, this past Saturday, I kind of quit in and out on this game because it was bad. Georgia Bulldogs barely got by Kentucky. Barely. Georgia Bulldogs are now number 2 overall in the country. The defense had to help them hold on and beat Kentucky 13-12. I mean, heading into the third quarter, they were down 9-3. You needed Branson Robinson to rush for a touchdown and give him the victory, but the offense stunk. It took the defense to go out there and pretty much get the job done. Hickey, I had people messaging me. And I'm like, hey, just I'm not playing. Give me a break. I'm watching them get their ass whipped just like everybody else. I can't help them.
Good for your friends, because this is one of the few times any non-Georgia fan has had to kind of talk smack to Georgia fans. I'm glad they jumped on it.
Yeah, and this guy wasn't even an Alabama fan, so, you know, give him some credit. You gotta pick your shots when you can. Georgia has now won 42 straight regular season games. Good for the Bulldogs. Let this be the worst victory of the season. Build off of this. Get the offense together, please. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of offense, hey, the Falcons and the Eagles are getting ready to play. Monday Night Football starting in, I don't know, about 10 minutes. Me, we'll talk about that. And then we'll get into a team that is also going nowhere in the NFL. I'll tell you who. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.